This is Bill Kennedy, the last voice of American reason.
We'll let Bill talk for a minute.
Well, let me tell you what's on my mind lately. Let me ask you a question there. Just give me some yes, no answers.
Sure.
Are you a citizen of the United States of America?
Yes, sir.
Are you a veteran?
Yes, sir.
Are you a family man?
Yes, sir.
Do you hold a job?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a license in the state that you live in, which is California?
That's correct.
And yet, you can't ride your motorcycle down the street because these policemen, they question whether or not your helmet is illegal or legal. Is that correct, too?
That's correct.
You know, I thought growing up, especially you and I being veterans, that we're entitled to what we want in our own country.
Not anymore.
I thought that we could ride the motorcycles where we want, do we want to do laws, not breaking any laws. And yet you and I cannot even go down the street without being pulled over, questioned. Now, I understand the need for driver's license, registration, insurance. They say driving is a privilege. All right, I understand all that stuff there. I understand the way to plan that. But this still is America. And I don't know why you and I have such a hard time speaking to people so they'll understand that if they don't stand up for their rights, they'll have no rights.
That's correct.
We have people in our area that are content to let a few of us do a lot of the work. We need everybody to get up and help. I believe, and of course I was in the Army, you in the Marine Corps. Let me use the Marine Corps slogan, gung-ho. That means work together. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Gung-ho, work together. Screwdriver and I talk to people everywhere we go, and they ask us, what are we doing? We're only two people. We're only two people. We're doing what we can do. The people in our local area have to help us. Anybody listening to us, you have to get involved in your area and make changes. We cannot constantly let this happen. I'm going to stop talking about screwdriver now for just 1 second and talk about a local kid. He belongs to he's a former veteran.
Correct.
He belongs to a motorcycle organization, a veterans motorcycle organization.
Correct.
And screwdriver, give me a little, what happened to this guy? Was he leaving the bar? Was he?
No.
All right.
He was on his way downtown. He pulled up.
Can I ask you what time it was?
7:35.
Okay.
On
Nighttime.
On the 17th. Which was St. Patrick's Day. And he was approaching the stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
And cop stepped out, started tapping his head, told him to pull over. At that point, he pulled over, and then he told him, what's up? And he said, the thing you have on top of your head isn't a DOT helmet, certified helmet. Go ahead and pull over right here. And he asked him for permission to pull over to a legal parking spot due to the safety reason and the traffic enforcement law that he was breaking at the time. He denied the request. He was again instructed to park the motorcycle against a red zone curb and a fire hydrant, which, by the way, I have a nice picture of the undercover car that they parked 3 feet from the curb in front of a hydrant the very next night when we were down there.
They had their lights on or anything?
Nope.
All right. the lights on, that's legit. If not, no.
Right.
Let me ask you this here. The guy was riding down the street on his motorcycle. He said he was pulled over or mentioned to pull over. Where were these police officers? Were they in patrol cars? Were they walking the street? What were they doing?
No, they were on their bike. They were on
okay.
a bike, Bill.
Okay.
And at that point...
No, the police officers. What were the police officers?
Oh, the police
doing?
Were on foot.
On foot, okay.
On
foot,
foot
patrol. All right.
Actually, let me enlighten you on that one.
All right.
I was told that they're walking around downtown. There's a 4x4 sign there. I showed it to you. The one that says the Ironman Triathlon this weekend coming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right behind that is a stop sign. So as you're approaching the stop sign, it looks like two people waiting across the at the sidewalk there. Remember we had
yes,
we right. had we had something to eat right there in the corner.
Italian restaurant there.
Italian mm-hmm. restaurant on the corner, which by the way has good food. Free plug. But the next thing I know, he tells me that he tells him to take off the helmet. He says, I don't have to do that. Are you certain that this isn't a certified, you know, California safety helmet? Well, there is no such thing as a true, not approved safety helmet. Never has been, never will be, because of the way the bullshit is. So he began stating again that he was not wearing that safety helmet and stated himself as an expert on California law and testing helmets. Proceeded to instruct him to take off the helmet again, and he said so he can conduct an inspection. He apologized and refused to remove the helmet due to his fourth violation of his Fourth Amendment rights and an unlawful cease and seizure without probable cause. He then stated that the Highway Patrol, California Highway Patrol Manual, Memo 209, 100.58, February 2009, forbids any allied agency of the California Highway Patrol to cite any motorcyclist for wearing a beanie-type helmet and also forbids a roadside determination by any law enforcement officer, which in the federal injunction says it's absurd to do that determination. Remember I told you?
Correct.
I showed you. So, at that point, he said it was not a request and demanded that he remove his helmet. And if he did not comply with removing his helmet, he would be placed under arrest, taken to jail, and the motorcycle impounded. He stated that he was recognizable from a prior helmet case, a case currently in submission at the court, involving another officer. This statement was mentioned three different times. In other words, he was gunning for him.
Right. The case hasn't even come to court yet. What about innocent
or guilty? That case came to court. Is what happened is, remember I told you he presented his case and the judge told him he was unfamiliar with the law, but he'd give him anything that he had to read and they'd send him the answer in the mail.
So it's not finished yet.
Still, yeah. Still going on. Okay? He mentioned it three different times. And then he called for the other officer who gave the prior ticket to be present at the traffic stop. When he arrived in the patrol car at the traffic stop, the other officer was in the process of the helmet investigation after he physically took it off his head, but we'll get to that. The motorcyclist, he also stated that that was, in fact, the motorcyclist who was cited for a safety helmet violation prior, proceeded to exit the area in a patrol car. The officer again continued to threaten him with an arrest for not cooperating by removing the helmet. He put out his own hands to make the arrest easier for the officer. He stated at the same moment, arrest me then if this is what your job entitles you to do. He instructed him, the gentleman and his girlfriend, to get off the motorcycle and remove the key from the ignition. I guess he thought he was going to take off at that point. They did as requested and threatened to impound the motorcycle again if he did not take off the helmet. He's going to place a call to the gentleman on the bike said he's going to place a call to the motorcycle owner to come and remove the motorcycle from the presently illegal park position. He ordered him again to not make any phone calls and to cancel the call immediately. At that point, the gentleman turned around and handed his phone to his girlfriend.
Passenger.
Yeah. Who she was standing immediately behind him. He continued to contact the owner of the motorcycle. Another officer, later identified, approached and demanded her to hang up the phone.
How many officers now? We're up to how many?
Now we're up to three.
Three, all right.
We haven't even got to the supervisor yet. He approached and demanded to hang up the phone. She continued to make the call until he physically removed the phone from her left hand by prying back her fingers to the point of pain. The phone was taken and solely confiscated by the officer. At this point, stated that himself and her were not Fourth Amendment waivers, and Officer B had no right to put his hands on her or take personal property into his own possession. He also stated that you need to know your place and this is unprofessional. He proceeded to ask at that point again for a supervisor or a watch commander. At that point, a sergeant walked up wearing sergeant chevron, stepped forward and identified himself as a supervisor and proceeded to tell the officer to carry on with the investigation and inspection of the helmet in possession. He then ordered the gentleman to put his hands behind his own back and in order to handcuff and restrain and arrest him. He cooperated without complying. He was then instructed to sit on a red zone curb in front of the Harley and asked to lift his head so that he could physically remove the helmet from his head. And then another identified officer began photographing both their heads, helmets from left to right, top to bottom, front to rear, interior inspection. He proceeded to ask questions in regard to the motorcycle. At this point, the motorcycle operator chose to remain silent and patiently waited to be cited and released. They gave both of them a notice to appear. This violation was marked as non-correctable. Now, he asked them if this offense was supposed to be marked as correctable, and the officer stated that it is not a correctable offense. He also stated himself and the Oceanside Police Department do not fall under the California Highway Patrol memo. Are they gonna considered an allied agency?
Correct.
Okay. Now, he stated that the criteria of the Highway Patrol does not.
Explain that to everybody that's listening what that means exactly.
What?
The Allied Agency about
the Allied Agency memo.
I know what it means.
The Allied Agency memo is when they came out in that memo in February that they sent it out to all the departments. Okay. We asked
in California.
In California, and when I asked them about that. They said they didn't know what we were talking about until I pulled out the paper and it's highlighted. And what did they say, Bill, when I asked them who signed it?
They didn't know.
Okay.
They weren't familiar with the person.
And going along with what happened with us,
mm-hmm.
where they also said they didn't know who did it, but they'll agree to follow the CHP manual.
Correct.
Okay? That's what they agreed to, right? It was 2 months and 11 days and 13 hours and 35 minutes for this to go south. Okay? They do not carry over. It does not carry. They stated that the criteria for the Highway Patrol does not carry over to them. He was asked, are you willing to cooperate in signing the notice to appear? The gentleman stated, I never had an issue with signing a notice to appear. You said you were going to arrest me, so I didn't even know about any citation. He didn't remove the handcuffs. Gave her a notice, and also gave him one for the safety helmet, loud exhaust, and because it was a borrowed bike, he didn't have the insurance card, so he got a ticket for not having the car, which we've told you from time to time, have all your paperwork and your license in your pocket.
Don't offer to them until they ask you to see them.
That's correct.
Don't give up any information of any kind, just say no. Mm-hmm. But when asked, you produce it.
That's correct.
Again, driving in California, the state, is a privilege. Therefore, to do that, you must go by their restrictions and rules like that. All right, so finish
That's
up
correct.
There, buddy.
And they were all the offenses, both his and hers, were marked as not correctable, thus violating the California Vehicle Code. And after he signed them, he was released, and he had to walk the motorcycle around the corner to where he was going.
Because he didn't have a helmet that
they
was given a ticket.
They didn't buy off on.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. We had a meeting with the police department. We came in. We discussed things logically. We showed them the laws, the rules, and everything. We had a gentleman's agreement. We talked about it. Was right. Was fair. And they said yes. That makes good sense. And then in a short time, they just said, we changed our mind, we don't care, we're going after every single buddy we can now.
Well,
2 months ago, it was, no, we're not going to do this, we're not going to be wasting taxpayers' dollars on this, and all of a sudden now they have a new policy. And you know what the part that bugs me is? We sat down and tried to explain things, open up a bridge of communication. They didn't even have the courtesy to call us up and say, hey, we don't give a shit about you two guys. We don't give a shit about what we said. We decided to change our own minds, and we're going to do everything different. If they at least had the courtesy to call me up or call you up and say, whatever it was, it's changed.
Right.
They didn't. They didn't care.
Nope.
Now we're getting reports that It's the Wild Wild West down here.
Yep. You want me to tell you what happened after you left that night?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay. Bill and I went down with another guy. We went down to the restaurant we're talking about, right where those guys were standing. I don't know if it's because they saw us. They never came out.
You know that's why they didn't come out.
Exactly. Bill left. The other gentleman with him, they left. I stayed there about another 45 minutes, finished my dinner, finished my drink, which was a Coke, by the way, and got on my bike, and I rode around the corner. I stopped, made a right turn, made a left turn, and I parked in a motorcycle parking, which happened to be in front of a bar. And I was going to meet this gentleman that we're talking about down at the bar. A little while goes by, they show up. I'm just standing on the curb smoking a cigarette next to my bike. A little while, they show up. It's starting to get dark. People are coming out now. And
Give us a time frame.
About
9 o'clock, 10 o'clock?
About 10:30.
All right, 10:30.
About 10:30. And nothing's going on. I haven't seen one all night. Nowhere. Nothing. About 10:45, I'm done. I put in a good almost 5 hours. Not a taker, not a bite, not a nibble, nothing. I put in and I got my jacket on, put my helmet on, pull up to the corner to make a left. Put it for 2.5 hours, Bill. That little parking lot kitty corner from the bar.
Yeah.
There's a marked car sitting in there. I don't think nothing of it. I'm not doing anything
wrong.
Why
should you? You're an American, aren't you?
Exactly.
You're an American city, right?
Exactly. So I'm sitting at the light. I put my turn signal on. I make the left. And all of a sudden, those guys take off. The guys, I went back, and I'll tell you why I went back. But all those guys told me, those guys took off when I made the left from the parking lot through the crosswalk, left lane, not the right lane, left lane, went through a solid red to make a left turn to come after me. Like I just robbed somebody. The light turns green, I take off, they swing in behind me, light me up, boom, boom, boom. I pull into the little harbor house over there, Cafe.
Yeah, I like that place. Great SOS down there.
Great SOS. I pull in there, and I turn off the bike. They let me get off the bike, but as I get off the bike, there's a little guy. There's a big guy and a little guy.
It's usually
a tag team. Little guy runs up to my bike. He's trying to wrestle the hammer off my saddlebag. I inform him it's zip-tied to the bag. He can't get it off. Stops at that point. The other guy asked me for my license and everything. I told him, hey, it's inside here. I'm going to zip it.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled out the tape recorder.
Right.
And I said, I'm going to turn this on. What I should have done was not told him, turned it on when the lights first went on, but I was making a turn at the time.
I like looking their face when you say, I'm turning my tape recorder. I like that look in their face.
It was a
I don't want that hidden stuff. I want right in your face.
Yeah.
And, you know, go ahead.
It was a Kodak moment. But you know how sometimes I'll wear my phone on my hip?
Yeah.
The guy asked me, hey, where's your phone? So it's in my pocket. He goes, why is it in your pocket? Well, that has nothing to do with why you stopped me, does it? Well, answer my question. Well, I don't have to answer that question. So I guess they figured my phone was somewhere on doing something other than, but then they realized I told them I turned on the tape recorder. So, make a long story short, they tell me the reason we stopped you was you don't have a running light. Well, when I stop to make the left turn, Bill, just my luck, the tail light goes out.
All right, so legit.
It was legit. Okay.
Yeah.
They talked to me.
They saw something. They go, thank goodness, we're going to pull him over the
legal. Exactly. So the guys, after all this, I go back. They let me go. They take all my information. They made a contact card. They let me go. I get on the bike. It's pitch black over there because there's nothing lit up anywhere at night because the restaurant's closed. I go out. I come back. I go in front of the bar because you know where that little sewing shop is? It's all lit up with the fluorescent lights.
Yeah.
So if I'm gonna try and change my taillight and see what's going on, that'd be a logical place to go. So I go back to where I was. I back in. I park. I get off the bike. I open my saddlebag. I take out, which, by the way, I do carry tools. Most guys don't carry tools.
Mm-hmm.
I open, I take off the lens, I take out the screws, take off the lens, I pull out the bulb, and it's black, Bill. It's blacker than my shirt. So it legitimately it burned out.
Yeah.
The guys that were in front of the bar when I left run over, hey, man, you know, right after you hit the corner, they pulled out behind you, da-da-da-da-da. So I said, what's going on? They said, well, we thought you were screwing with them and turned the light off. I said, no, I didn't do that. So I told them what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking. Now, here comes another car, the one I told you parked 3 feet from the curb.
Yeah.
In front of the fire hydrant. He gets out, he walks across the street, down the corner, to talk to those two guys. They come back up the street, they walk over, and they stand behind us. When I'm talking to the one guy is standing behind his bike. The guy walks over with the notepad and the pen to write down license plate number. So the kid steps to the left. The guy walks to the right, he steps to the right. At that point, I take off my jacket, I throw it over the back of my bike. Can't read my plate either. He says, hey, why are you guys disrespecting me? I said, well, if you need all my information, you can talk to those two guys right there, because they just stopped me.
Mm-hmm.
And as you guys can see, I'm changing the bulb so I can go home. Oh, yeah, no problem, man, no problem. 10 minutes go by, they walk back down to the corner. They're standing behind us trying to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We stop talking. They keep standing there. So finally, they walk down to the corner. I'm standing there. I'm thinking, you know, what the hell just happened? So I walked down to talk to them. You know what they told me, though? They were posted in the parking lot to watch and grab me when I left. And I said, what's the hit? We're on a special detail.
I always thought you were special.
Yeah. We're on a special detail. And I'm like, what, just for me? They said, we're on a special detail.
So let's let a break there for a second. Downtown Oceanside, how many motorcycle gangs were there?
None.
Okay.
According to them, there's one.
Okay, with you at that time.
At that time.
No patches, no nothing.
No patches, no nothing, but they were with.
There was
they
a
were,
few motorcycle riders
were,
there.
They were
None of them had a patch on.
Exactly.
You don't have a patch on, you don't have a patch on.
The only person in that crowd.
Uh-huh.
That was wearing any kind of a shirt was me.
Well, you know, if you don't have a patch on, you're not a member. If you have a patch, you're a member. Friends of mine that belong to clubs, they wear their bike. They wear the patch every time they ride the bike.
Exactly.
So you're sitting downtown. There's a few local people there. How many motorcycles were there? Independent motorcycles. No club people, no patches.
Within,
how many motorcycles?
Within the vicinity.
Here's the whole block.
15.
Not one.
Sport bikes.
Yeah.
There was a couple of mopeds.
Mm-hmm.
15 total.
Okay, and the bar you stopped at outside, how many Harley-Davidson motorcycles were there beside you?
Four total.
And not one of those guys had a patch on or anything?
One guy did.
One guy had a patch on? All
right.
One guy had a patch on.
Right. The veteran that we're talking about that got this ticket was
okay.
The guy wearing a patch.
All right, he belongs to a veterans motorcycle organization.
That's
okay.
Correct.
We have this major, major task force now, and their big swoop is you, because your taillight burns out.
Because of me, okay? Now, when they're standing behind us, little do I know, but I'm wearing a support shirt.
All right, okay? That's America.
That's America.
You're a veteran?
That's right.
You're in your own state?
It's just like if I was wearing a Marine Corps support shirt.
It's your choice.
If I was wearing a Vietnam vet support shirt. If I was wearing a San Diego Harley board or a Harley shirt, that's a support shirt. If I'm wearing a Harley Davidson shirt, that's a support shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now.
Your choice.
My choice.
As an American.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Same page.
Okay? They take a picture of my back, Bill. I don't know what's going on. The guys told me, hey, there was a flash. I didn't see it because
mm-hmm.
I was looking the other way. Next thing I know, the guy says to me, when I walk down to talk to him, that, you know, we're on that special detail, and I said, for what? Do you mind if I ask? No, we can't tell you. Well, you just told me you were posted there to chase me down. You're telling me you're on a special detail, but you can't tell me why after you told me all this? Basically, the conversation ended. But in between this, Bill, when I went to give the guy my driver's license, I had a card from one of the gentlemen we talked to in that
mm-hmm.
room. They saw the card. They asked me about the card. Without being denying, lying, anything, I told them. I had a talk with him yesterday. I talked to him about this day. We have an ongoing rapport right now because we're trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
We need to take back our cities, what we're trying to do.
Right.
We're going to lose this gang mentality. We're going to lose these major criminals. You were there with four other Harley people. One of them belonged to a veterans motorcycle club that was not an outlaw veterans or anything, just a bunch of veterans, young vets. You weren't at a topless bar. There was nothing going on. There was no drugs being smoked on the street. There was nobody chugging beer.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And for this action in an American city, you're pulled over. Now, legit. Your taillight was out. That was the probable cause.
That was the probable cause.
But much money are we spending?
I don't know. But, you know, when I started my bike bill, I never went off from it. The light was on.
Mm-hmm.
The light was on.
Yeah.
Now, you and I be driving, it's just like a taillight going out in your car. Your license plate light going out in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. Okay? After all that, I talk to those guys. I see that they're just going to stand there and watch. So I get on my bike. I tell those guys, I'll see you later. I go to work. I come back. I take a shower. I get cleaned up. I go out there. I go down there again.
Mm-hmm.
The next night I go down there, I'm wearing my Bolt shirt. Okay?
I'm going to beat the hell out of you for that one, Jesus.
Exactly.
The support shirt just got you in trouble. The Bolt may get your ass beat.
Right. So, I'm down there. Not a bite, nibble, nothing. So I walk down to the Circle K, which is around the corner from the bar. I could have went in and had a cup of coffee from the bar, but, you know, it sits there for a while. You know, I wanted a fresh cup. So I walk down to the Circle K. I get in there. I get the coffee, I come back, I come out. But as I'm walking there, I'm on the northbound side of the street, walking north. Or I'm on the north side of the street, walking north. I get to the corner, I make a right turn, I cross the street at the light with the walk signal.
Right.
Because there's six of them standing in front of the resource center. Okay?
Right.
I get down.
Resource center is another word for an outlet, police outlet, or a substation down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a full police station, it's just a substation so they can be prepared for any action rather than come down for the main station. So when you're saying that, we're talking about just a substation for anybody listening.
Okay. That's correct. So I get the coffee. I come back out. Now I'm going to go down the south side of the street. There's only two guys out there, but I all I see is the top of their heads because they got the trunk open in the car and the guy's putting on his coat. I get to the rear door,
mm-hmm.
and I hear, hey, here he comes. Trunk slams. I stop up. I walk up to the stop sign. They're behind me. Okay? I'm going across the street. The gentleman we're talking about that gave the ticket is right next to me. In the middle of the street, the yield sign, which has a stop sign on it, is bent over all the way to the ground.
Yeah.
He goes, hey, somebody made a wide left turn, huh? And I looked over. I looked up at him because he's about a foot and a half taller than me. And I said, how you doing? And I kept walking. I crossed the street. Now we get the two other guys in plain clothes who want to think that we don't know that they're cops with all the shit underneath the flannel shirt, following them, following me, see where I'm going. I walk all the way down to the corner. I walk all the way across the street, wait for the cars. I walk across the street. I don't want them to try and give me a ticket for jaywalking now. Okay? I cross the street. I walk all the way over to the bar. I walk into the bar. They follow me all the way to the door, Bill. All the way to the door. At this point, I'm still wearing my jacket. I come out of, they turn around, they go back the other way, they go down to the corner, they're talking to the other two guys. I go outside, the guys that I'm waiting to see are starting to show up, so we're standing there bullshit. And the next thing I know, it's like 2.5 hours later, okay? But they're growing all night, walking up and down, looking at my bike, walking around. I'm waiting to see what they're going to grab something, take my helmet. I don't know, because, you know, this guy was, people would park, take off their helmet, and he'd walk up and give them a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
After they just parked and took off the helmet.
We know that they stopped in the bar. The people haven't even left the bar yet. They're in the bar parking lot. They're walking in and give them a ticket. Haven't even started the bike up and left yet, so we know.
That's correct, okay? Because, quote, unquote, we have an expert.
Yeah.
Okay? The next thing I know, I get finished talking to those guys, I'm going to leave. They send a woman, cop, I seen her in the alley. You know how right across, you got the alley right here, and across the street, you got the other part, and they got that big parking lot, and then you got the cantina over there?
Yeah.
I can see the light bar above the cars. The parking light's on. I pulled out like I did, make a left. As soon as I made the left, she's behind me. Lights on, siren, the whole thing. I get about a half a block, because there's nowhere to pull over because of the cars. I get a half a block. I pull up in front of the Circle K. I turn off my bike. I'm sitting on a bike. She tells me, get off the bike. I step to the curb. She goes, I didn't tell you to move from the bike. Hey, there's cars going by here. I'm going to step to the curb. Okay, go ahead. Walks up, reaches down, grabs my hammer. It's a brand new hammer. I don't want to hear any stories about work, da-da-da-da. We know, you know and I know what this hammer's for. Okay, fine, whatever. It's your story, you tell it. At this point, I'm not saying anything.
Exactly.
Okay? I'm not saying a word. She looks me dead in the eye, Bill. Take off your helmet. I refuse to give up that right. Well, you know, last night we heard you were down here throwing somebody's name around, da-da-da-da-da. I didn't throw anybody's name around. The man seen, when I opened my wallet, he seen the card and asked me a question.
And that was a courtesy card.
That was a courtesy card.
Internal Affairs gave the right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. At that point, she says, yeah, well, we were talking about you in the briefing today because before we came out on patrol. Now, Bill, hey, I'm feeling really special because now I'm the center of attention at the briefing. Okay? Watch this guy, da-da-da-da. We don't know what his affiliation is with these guys yet, but watch this guy. And if you see anything out of line, hammer him. So you know, Bill, for I don't know how many years, I've always had two pieces of tape over the lens on my back.
Right.
On the back of my bike. Okay? With about an inch showing that lights up my plate from at least two blocks away. She turned off her lights before I pulled over. Asked me, do you know why I turned off my lights? Because I can't read your plate. Well, with all that fucking light bar and shit she had, I'm surprised she could even see I was there. With all the, okay? It looked like daylight behind me. So she walks up, tells me that, and then she tells me, I'm going to give you a moving violation ticket because of the tape on my, on the lens on the back of my bike. And I said, well, isn't that a fix-it ticket? I said, I can fix that right now if I pull the tape off. If I see it again, I'm going to give you a moving violation. Okay, well, I think I'm done. I asked, am I under arrest? We're questioning. I'm conducting an investigation. Okay, fine. Take off your helmet. I want to see it. No. You have aftermarket stickers in that helmet. It says cop and not law enforcement officer.
You have x-ray vision? You can see through my helmet?
No. Mm-hmm. When we handed them the thing in the room?
Yeah.
Okay. When we handed that to them in the room, they looked at it. Remember the guy looked at it,
yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is what my guys told you wasn't illegal? I said, here, there's the memorandum,
mm-hmm.
Everything here. Date, manufacturer, da-da-da-da-da. Boom. Okay, we're good. She tells me that I heard you got a ticket with this guy and da-da-da-da, and I said, it's under appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we heard you said you won your appeal. I said, no, I won the right for three judges in the Superior Court to listen to my appeal,
mm-hmm.
Which right now, the ball is in the court. See, now all this coincides with the letter I got from last week from the district attorney, Bill,
mm-hmm.
That says they have 30 days to respond. They sent me a copy of what they sent the police department. They sent me a copy of what they sent the officer. They sent me a copy of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now he has 20 or 25 questions he has to answer with an attorney. But he'll probably do it himself because, remember, he's an expert. Okay?
Yeah.
So she says to me that, basically, this whole stop was, they don't want me to go downtown no more, Bill.
Like you're a one-man crime wave.
Yes.
You do not belong to any motorcycle organization, no crime.
We all have friends, Bill.
I got friends everywhere. You know what? You, just because of who you are, they don't even want you on a street. But you have to pay taxes in that same town.
Right.
I can see them bugging me a little bit because
right.
I come from the next town over. Maybe they don't want me in their town because I don't pay taxes.
Right.
But you live in the same town.
Right.
We have no gangs down there. We have no. There was nobody around you causing any trouble.
No.
And they just felt that, once again, we had to pick on this one guy
right.
and make him be handcuffed.
Right.
And give them a ticket, and then they come after you. So we're talking the whole night long, two people. And I don't know if anybody else
three.
Stopped. I haven't heard nothing.
His three.
Passenger. His
three.
Passenger, yeah.
Three. Well, and, that's it, Bill.
I no
heard,
moving,
we
no
have,
moving laws. No burnouts, right? No wheelies.
No.
There was nothing at all.
No.
But the fact is your taillight burnt out, and you repaired it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Replaced it right away, excuse me.
That's what started the whole That's what started.
Where'd you get the taillight bulb from?
The guy that got a helmet ticket went down, him and his girlfriend railed down and got me one.
Well, there you go. Sit down. That's just people working together, motorcycles working together. Did you get a fix-it ticket on that, a correction
no.
ticket, or
no.
she just waited for you to fill? Okay, well.
Nothing. No, the guys told me they were going to let me go. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get hit in the back on the way home.
Yeah, so we
let me go.
Crazy, crazy mixed signals.
The next night, she told me that she could give me a ticket for the helmet because I know that we know that they know that I know it's an illegal helmet. That's
Jeez.
Exactly how she said it. So, like you said, Bill, if they were going to do something, they'd have done it. If she was going to give me a ticket for the taillight, she gave it to me. If she's going to give me a ticket for the helmet, she gave it to me.
I don't want to say this to the police officers. I don't want them to get extra information, but I do want to share this with. Don't threaten us unless you're going to do it. It makes you look bad. It makes you look weak. I'm going to have you locked up in here. I'm going to have you put in jail and all that. And then a few minutes later, they say, well, I'm going to let you go this time. Well, why did you threaten us with a ticket? Why did you threaten us with being put in jail? I have to tell you again, when I hear this, threats, and they don't follow through, I don't have respect for the people. I just assume them say, I'm going to put you in jail and put me in jail. Or I want them to say, you know what, I don't think this is a big deal. I'm going to cut you a slack. All right, either way. But over and over and over, I hear, we're going to give you a ticket. We're going to impound this. We're going to do that. And they never do it. Now, I don't want them to do it. I'm not some suicide nut. But I'm trying to say that every time a police officer says something to you, and he or she doesn't do it, it weakens their case. It weakens them in the fact of who's running this conversation. Many of you heard me say over and over, you have 30 to 45 seconds. You must control the situation. You're an American citizen. You're an American town. You do not need to be afraid. You pull the motorcycle over. You shut the bike off. That's it. Stay on the bike. Don't say how you do and blah, 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 blah. You're not here to make friends. They're not here to make friends. If they ask you for your ID, you give it to them. Don't give them information. Don't share information. But the next time somebody's out there and they threaten you, and you know it's a threat, try not to smile too much. I have to bite my lip.
Right.
It makes them look bad.
Just like Bill, she asked me to, she wanted to search me.
Maybe she'd like to.
Yeah, fine, no problem. But I just relaxed my arms. She grabbed my thumbs, put them behind my back, frisked me, asked me again, just like the guys the night before, where's my phone? Goes up the. At this point, same thing. I didn't get a chance to turn it on when the lights went on. I didn't want to reach for anything because I didn't know if she'd bump me with the car or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay? At this point, I didn't know what was going on, so I kind of relaxed. She frisked me. Then she goes up the left side. Now, you know where I carry the video recorder, the video camera, and I carry the tape recorder and my license and everything. So they I take it out. I tell them I'm turning it on. And she, where's your phone? It's in this pocket. So she takes it out, looks in, puts it back. Same thing in here. She's patting me on the chest. What's this? Video camera and a tape recorder. Okay. Do you have any other weapons on you? Yeah. There's a knife in my left back pocket. Takes the knife, puts it in the side pocket of her pants. Starts talking to me, goes back, opens the door, starts writing out a contact card, asking for my phone number and everything. After she chewed my ass about the hammer, the helmet, da 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 da. Okay? And about being downtown and whatever. So at that point, I just, I called it a night.
You have some strange bad luck. And I say this only because it's, you never know what's going to happen. A while back, I was riding down the street. And a female sheriff was in front of me. She's looking pretty darn good. And so I went a little fast to catch up to her. I caught her at a red light, and she looked in the mirror, and she was, you know, smiling at me. So I figured, well, you know what? I should be polite. So I went around the side of her car. just so she can get a better look at me because I'm a nice guy. She stuck her hand out the window and made a signal with four fingers. I said, that's kind of silly. What the hell is she waving me with four fingers? Why not the whole hand? I said, wait a minute, four fingers. Is that code four or blue or something? I don't know. And I looked up, and I had two male sheriffs and two patrol cars right on my bumper. She waved them off, and they wanted to pounce on me, kill me, eat me. There was no reason for this attitude.
Supposedly, now you gotta cut your hair.
That's true. But it ain't going to happen. When I'm stopped, I must have that situation in the palm of my hand in 30 to 45 seconds. I must have that officer, that man or woman, realize that I'm in charge of the situation. If I've done something wrong, they have a certain right to give me a ticket. I don't even argue. But I'm not going to be harassed. I'm not going to be bullshitted. I know my rights. I speak slowly. I try to be articulate. I would never say yes, sir, to anybody. I would never say yes, ma'am. I would never say what the F you want. My style is, you're going to stop me, that's your job. You give me a bogus ticket, my job is to take that to court. Now, there are different techniques out there, and some of our friends, they get pulled over, and they're, what the F this and what the F that. I don't judge other people. I do encourage people, though, listen to what I say. It'll save you a lot of trouble. But some of our friends deal with trouble. Now, you, my good friend, you get more hassle than anybody I met in my life.
Well,
and you know what? You're
not doing
anything wrong.
No,
to my knowledge,
wait, though.
You don't speed. You know.
This is going to get better now.
All
right. So Saturday and Sunday go by. Okay, Saturday night I'm down there. Sunday goes by. I make a phone call. I call the guy in internal affairs.
Mm-hmm.
I leave a message. Monday, same thing. Monday, I'm on my way home.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing phone tag all day. Monday, I'm on my way home. He calls. He turns my call. I said, hey, I just drove by. Are you going to be there for a minute? I'll come back. So I turned around and went back to the station. It's him and I. We go in the same room we were in. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No windows.
No windows. I don't know if he's got something on. The way he looked, he didn't have nothing on. It's like two guys talking. He tells me, hey, you know, I got a lot of email cross-traffic yesterday and today. Oh, yeah. And what's the deal here? And I said, what? And he said, well, my guys say you're affiliated.
Because you're an American citizen.
Wearing,
speaking to somebody on American street.
Wearing a support shirt. Which, by the way, Bill, was given to me, remember?
Yes, I remember.
Okay. So we're talking, we're in there. We talked for almost an hour, Bill, about this and that. The stops and the helmet and what happened and the hammer and what I used the hammer for. And the lady asked me where's the rest of my tools, and I said they're underneath there in the bag. Excuse me. And I tell him all about that, you know, and he says, well, you know, he says there's some things going on, and we just don't want the element, any element. I don't know. This, you know, any guy in a bike now. Target. If you're wearing any kind of...
Or that we have to get our gang intelligence up to code. We have to get information on everybody. We have to document everybody. What does that sound like? Nazi Hitler? Didn't, you know, Germany rather than all that? You don't belong to an organization. You talk to a couple of friends. You can't stop and say hello to some friends?
Exactly.
You and I know some politicians. Some of our politician friends are in jail. Am I not supposed to say a little politician anymore? How about the police department? In yesterday's paper, three officers were arrested on different things. You can't say a little police officer? No. Everybody is trying to control us. And the reason is, and I don't encourage anybody to do what they don't feel comfortable with, but you have to stand up for your rights. Don't be an idiot. Don't be a blah, blah, but you find what's right for you. Screwdriver has a different level than I do. That's screwdriver's level. I have my level. How I deal with like that. Stand up.
Stand up
and be counted.
We got a caller, Bill.
Who's on the line? Caller, you on the line, please?
Oh, you got one up there.
How are you, John?
Hey, good. How's yourself?
Oh,
hey.
we're having fun up here. You might want to join the party.
Hey.
Yeah, we've had a thing last week go on out here east of San Diego with there was a run raising money for the family of veterans, women and children. And it was the police moved in big time, CHP and the sheriff's department, and they were stopping groups, any group of motorcycles. They were pulling them off. Anybody who had anything written on their jacket, they were pulling them over. I got on the phone the next day, and I was called three different CHP offices and the sheriff's department. And I was told, well, there was some kind of a gang meeting out there outside of Barrett Junction, which was this run, this charity run. And a gang meeting, and we were, you know, and it's, it was just really gang, you know, what is a gang, you know, it's, they pulled over like Christian Motorcycle Club and the Firefighters Club and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they're probably the biggest gang out there, huh?
Yeah, right. So it was,
sure,
so where
is Bill Kennedy again? Describe me, was this like downtown Las Vegas? Was this in the middle of stinking desert? What was this place like, John, where the party was
out
there?
Out in the country. It's just, there's a restaurant at the corner. It's called Barrett Junction Cafe. They got some good fish. But the run was close to that. That's all it was. It's just in the middle of the country.
Not bothering anybody. No loud music. No drugs. No drink. No, nobody going crazy. Just some people going to a motorcycle run.
A motorcycle run that was raising money for a charity. So anyway, we're in the middle of investigating that. If they used the one cop told me that. They were funded by the state for doing these motorcycle safety stops, that's not what they were doing. You know,
right.
The funding
that they were all bunched up. That's why they pulled them over.
Oh, let's see. They pulled over one group because the prospect riding in the back of the group had a license plate number that was vertical rather than horizontal. They pulled over. Another couple of groups because they said they were bunching up. They were riding bunched up, which I've been unable to find anything in the vehicle code that says riding bunched up is against the law. I'm wondering how they stopped the first bike in the line. How could he be riding bunched up?
Well, you know, John, I've been out that way, and a lot of times they'll have the copter up ahead, and that guy will hover down to about 200-300 feet and flashes searchlight at you to let you know that they know that you know now that they're there.
Yeah, they stopped a couple of people that day with the helicopter. I mean, spending $357 an hour to support that helicopter, but they got a couple of people that was went over a double yellow line, passed over a double yellow line, and one for speeding. I don't know how the hell they tell if a bike is speeding from a helicopter, but then they radioed down to the guy, the CHP guys that were down at Barrett Junction, and they stopped them and gave them a ticket. So
I was told they pick a point and they go one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know that we could fight that in court. It's like, how can I tell how fast, you know, you count?
Right.
John, listen, sometimes when I'm riding and they pull one of my guys over and we all pull over, they say, you cannot stay here. We're pulling this one man over. I said, we're all riding together.
Bill,
yeah.
Hold on a minute.
Hold on, John. What's happening?
We just got shut down. Let's see if I can get it back up.
A little technical problem, John.
No,
I too.
Not a technical problem. The my little box in the corner lit up.
You're coming through here, okay.
Yeah, no, my little box in the corner, the security went on, so somebody's trying to hack in.
We got a black screen here.
Uh-huh.
But go ahead and finish.
So what John's saying now, let me repeat that again. Sometimes I get pulled over, a couple of my partners, and then they'll say, you three or you four, whatever it is, you can't stay here by the side of the road. Hang in there, John, we're getting this worked out there. You have to go up to the next exit or something with them. And yet there are times when I'm riding down the road and they say, everybody must be pulled over. And I would say, are you writing everybody a ticket up? No, we're writing that one man a ticket. And I say, well, sometimes you ask us not to stay here. Sometimes you say, we must stay here. Where's the continuity here? Where is the program? Where's the format? And they say, we want to check everybody out. for one man's having a taillight out, you can stop everybody in the road? They say, yes, we can. The same token I can't figure out, pull one of us over and tell the rest of us, you can't stay next to your friend. You have to go somewhere else. That happened to you before, John, at all?
Oh, yeah. That happened last week with this run that I was talking about last Saturday.
Yes.
A week before that, the people who were putting on the run, the violators, they went out to check out, you know, they did a pre-run. And this is the one where they pulled them over, they got on the loudspeaker, they had the lights going, and so they all pulled over. I think there was about a half a dozen of them. And the cop pulled over behind them, and he says, I said on the loudspeaker that prospects should pull over, not you. I can write you a ticket for an unauthorized stop. And, you know, and the guy who was leading the group, he says, well, if I hadn't stopped, what are you going to write me for then? Leaving the scene? And he says, no, he says, your prospect is license plate. By the way, license plate thing, they're writing the tickets on that under CVC 5201, which is arguable. It says it shall be put in a position to sort of be clearly visible. And like I say, if I got a ticket for that, I'd fight it, you know, because it's visible. It's sitting right there. Whether it's
license plates are coming back. In the 70s, we used to run them a lot. The cops would tell us that they'd go from the center of the tire and go out 45-degree angle. If they can see the license plate from 45-degree angle from the center of your tire, that was legit. It kind of went by the wayside, but now we're having a little influx in the, what I call ankle biters. That's all side mount license plate to me is. I can't stand them. But again, you have a right to what you want to do. This fad, this style is coming back again, and I don't think the cops have a right to decide horizontal, vertical, or anything else about it. But they're always trying to do something on us, John.
Yeah,
when you guys do your meetings out there at where is the bait meeting in San Diego, John? I forgot.
There are two of them. There's a local six in the southern part of the county, which is first Sunday of the month, up on Kate Sessions Park in Pacific Beach. That's at noon. And then the following Sunday at 11 a.m. is one up in your neck of the woods up there.
I'll wear that one, yeah. You guys get any harassment coming in here? Or are they still treating you as independents? Or they see you as a potential threat to Homeland Security, too? Or how's your program going in that?
No, we haven't had any problem with that. Like I say, this thing is just our first thing recently that, you know, because we try to take care of everybody. You know, I mean, all of those people out there are probably not even Obey members, but it don't matter. They're bikers, and they're in our ballywick. You know, they're in our neighborhood, and, yeah. Now, the only thing that we got going, we talked last week about that regional rally up around.
We're good to go. Not to interrupt you, John, but, Bill, we're back online.
All right, we're back on. Phil didn't pay his cable bill or something. They pulled a plug on us.
Wasn't the cable bill, though.
Can't pay the lousy bill. But, John, we're back again. You know,
okay, yeah. The thing we got going now is the regional rally, which is up by, I forget the name of the place.
Same now, right? Santa Ana or Anaheim?
Yeah, right. That's on May 7, 8, and 9. But in April... on April 12th, we've got the Freedom Rally on the steps of the Capitol. Everybody's invited. Anybody's invited. You know, we're going to try to clog the steps, letting them know that we're here and we count and we vote.
You're meeting in Santa Ana, Anaheim. That's really like a meet and greet. Is that correct?
It's a party, yeah.
Now, I'm very disappointed that you're not having an hour or two of bringing some very interesting speakers in there. I realize the port for meet and greet. Maybe everybody is tired of political conversation, but I think what a oversight to have so many people there and not be there to speak to people and tell them about what's going on in the area. But maybe you're right. Maybe there's enough going on. Maybe a meet and greet is good there, brother. So I understand.
Okay, what where you're going to get that is at the the Freedom Rally. Up at the Capitol. That's basically what that is.
Yeah.
Is anybody?
John, you didn't get his message. You didn't invite him to speak. That's why he's mad.
Oh, John, come on. No.
Well, you can July 4th. Hey, Bill, July 4th, man, there's going to be a, theoretically, it's in the planning stages, but there's going to be a helmet law protest ride on July 4th. I'm not saying that a beta is putting it on, because there's no particular group that's putting it on. Mm-hmm. This way we don't have to worry about permits but there's been one for the last 3 years, helmet law protest ride. Two politicians have been contacted already to speak there, and we'll probably have more, you know, speak at the beginning of the ride. Then we'll all go out and ride from point A to point B, and those people who want to wear helmets can, and those people who don't want to wear helmets can.
John, if I can, you said something very important. The helmet law protest run, it's got some negative connotations to some people. I think it'd be really wonderful if we could encourage all the motorcycle riders to join us on this run and wear the helmets. If the Gold Wing riders want to show up and wear their helmets, that's fine. If you want to wear a non-DOT helmet, that's fine. If you want to be bold and not wear any helmet. But I wonder if we could just try to reach out to more people, just motorcycle riders, and say, I want to show up and protest the law. We're not saying, even if we change the law tomorrow, you can still wear your helmet, but we need to reach more people that have helmets to say, join us on this rally. We're not just a loose bunch of crackpots. Well, maybe we are. But we need to reach more and more mainstream motorcycle riders that will say, hey, I'm going to show up for that, even though if they pass the law tomorrow, I'm going to choose to wear a helmet. I think that would be a good way to go, John.
Yeah, well, when the flyers go out, we've had, for the last 3 years, we've had flyers that went out, which is why we always end up with police there. The first year, it was about, I don't know, 18 of us got tickets for not having helmets on at all. And I had on the back of my bike, I had a state senator's husband riding on the back of my bike. And he got a ticket, I got a ticket. We had, I think, 16, 17 people. After that, the cops haven't written us. They'll stand there and watch us go by, but they don't stop us, which is, you know, simply because it cost them, that first one cost them, I don't know, Christ, $10,000. In officers' fees to send these cops, these 30 cops to court, you know, 5-6 times. I got sidetracked. We do the flyers. We put the flyers out, and the flyers say that. We don't care whether you wear a helmet or not. You know, we're violating the right for you to not wear a helmet if you so desire. So if you ride on this ride, wear one or not, you know, whatever you feel like, but we're protesting the law. So that is put on the flyers.
John, long ago, before the helmet law came into fruition, but it was close to being passed, or was just passed, or close to being passed, I don't know, we had a big helmet protest up at my shop up in Oceanside, and I had all kind of Honda Goldwing riders ride in, you know, the full baggers, and they had their helmets and all that, and they said they came just because they didn't want another law passed. They were going to wear their helmets, and if there is a law or not a law, they choose to wear a helmet. But I really appreciate to this day that all those Honda Goldwing riders showed up to say, hey, we don't need more laws. And I'm hoping we can get more of that message out to everybody, you know?
Great, great.
So, John, I got to ask you, why do we got two in San Diego? Is there that many people, too many different debate meetings?
It's more of a manner of who wants to ride how far. You know, there was going to be a spinoff of Local 6, oh, God, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. People who were from down toward El Cajon or heading out toward the desert, because the nearest one out there is an hour and a half away. It's out of, I don't know, town just before you hit Arizona. That's Local 38. But these guys who live down around, like from Spring Valley out, wanted to start their own local, and, you know, it never happened. Okay, they didn't carry it through enough, but it was, if they had wanted to start their own local, this, they could.
John, let me ask you this here, because you brought up an interesting point. Say I live in Spring Valley, or I live down in Baker, or I live in wherever, and there is no abate. How could I start an abate chapter in my area? Can you give me the song and dance act on that one?
Well, you just call up Oviedo, California, which is up in, my brain is not working for towns, but you call them up and say, you know, I'd like to start, we have 10 Abate members here who live out in this area, and we would like to start, we would like to start our own local, and it goes from there. It's just, they take it before the board, and, you know, they see that you're legitimate, and that's the way that works.
John, and if you don't have 10 members, you just got some people interested in joining a bait, do you have to have so many card-carrying members to start a chapter up?
You don't know. I would have to call. I'd have to call the state and find that out. I don't know what the number is. I'll know, but by next Thursday when I'm on the show, I'll have your answer for that.
Because a lot of people, I'm sure, are thinking about that, because Abate is one of the biggest organizations we got for biker rights, in my opinion, in America. And there may be other people out there thinking, well, maybe I could get involved with Abate, and I don't have an Abate nearby. How can I do it? So we'll try to, next show, have you come on and tell us a little bit what to do if you live in an area without an Abate chapter.
Hey, you guys ready?
And how you can start a chapter.
Yeah, about 3 minutes.
Kind of interesting, I think.
Yeah, sure. I'll find out.
How'd you get involved, John?
I was,
can you think that far back? It's been a long time.
No, it wasn't. It was only like 13, 14 years ago that I started riding, and my wife has been riding for 40 years, and she went to them. She happened to see bikers going up into Kate Sessions Park there, and she followed them, and it was an Abate meeting, and she came home and told me about it, and then very shortly thereafter, I got a bike, and I just started riding then, and I got involved, and since then I've been, you know, an officer and a safety officer and a vice president and a president, and I'm like the state safety officer now. Is one of my titles, but that's how that happened.
John, no disrespect to you. You know I put up with you, but you know I like your wife, don't you?
Yeah, I know that.
You just get that out in the open. That, I think that's good, you know, clear, that's honesty. I like your wife, I put up with you. Okay, that's good with that.
Okay, as long as you keep your hands off her, that's all that counts. That's
honesty is a good thing.
Always.
And she's long distance from me, so that's good there too. But no, from the very minute I met your wife, I said, this is a person I want to be my friend. And she hasn't
She's cool. No.
And both of you guys are very, very, very nice people. I've been to your house. I've sat down, had coffee. Everything's great. You guys are really nice people.
And never invited me to their house, ever. That's all right. No big deal.
Bill, you're off on Monday. Come on down. I'll make coffee.
The good man. Yeah, I'm kind of interested about that Abate thing, because I think there are other people that would kind of like to know, what can I do? How do I get started? Is this something that maybe they're afraid it's too big a task? Is the hill too high to climb? But maybe we can give some people advice. If you live in an area and you want to do something, this could be a good thing to start.
Yeah, as long as you've got interest in it. We just had two locals that closed last year because of lack of participation. They couldn't get enough people to come on meeting day, and then there was not enough people who wanted to hold an office, you know, either because, you know, you got to have like a treasurer and a membership person and, you know, people who want to take care of the jobs. It was, we were getting kind of like that with Local 6 last year with, crazy. I was doing like four of the different jobs and I was getting tired. And then three different people stepped up and said that they would take, you know, one of them volunteered for treasury, one for membership, and one for secretary, and so, because you need people to do that stuff, so it's not all one person.
I appreciate that. Philip, we got another speaker coming in, or what?
We have two. John, you're welcome to stay on the line if you have any questions.
Sure.
Let's stick on. Carl, are you on the line?
Hey, what's up, Phil and Bill?
It's
Becky from Nashville. You have a co-conspirator?
I think it's Gary out there. You on there, Gary?
Yes.
How are you guys doing?
Here.
What's going on down your neck of the woods,
Nashville, man?
Oh, not much. Just hanging out here watching the Predators.
Don't feel bad. The guy's out in the white truck. We just sent him a Pepsi. But no, I the reason I asked you to call, Baker, was I understand that we got a new charity for Nashville now, since we had problems with the other one, and I guess Gary's
the
big cheese on that one, huh?
Well, Gary, tell us what's this charity all about, please.
We're Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee. We have a kids' cafe, which we feed kids in the evening, and we give after-school backpack program that we have that we give out food to the inner-city youth. But we're not just Nashville. We have 46 counties in Tennessee that we do, and we're just real excited to have Baker and come aboard.
Tell me a little bit about the criteria if you're a kid. How do you get
involved? Well, actually, Bill, you know, I'm going to meet this gentleman.
When?
In May.
Well, that ain't going to help me. I don't need to know now. If I'm in that area and I need some assistance on that, how do I get hooked up with that?
You'd call our...
And I need some help there.
You'd call our local office, which is 615-329-3491, and ask for Whitney, and she can hook you up with what you need to do and how you need to get involved with us.
Is there any financial criteria? Is there a scale or something? Or
nope, just that is... Just if you need a food or if you're in need of assistance, we can help. We can help out.
Well, we don't need food out here, but Screwdriver and I, we need assistance a lot. But we'll let that part go there. How are you collecting the money? How are you feeding all these kids? Tell us how it's being done, because this sounds kind of interesting.
We have funding from the – we're a 501C, which is a nonprofit. We have funding from the – United Way helps us out. We get different grants that we have grant writers go out and help support us. We do food drives, which Baker's involved with, and we just help go out in the community. As you can see, I'm kind of nervous.
That's okay. Take a deep breath.
If Baker's involved, he just wants a free meal. I know that guy. Watch out, buddy. Backpack, too. He got all right stuff.
That's Baker can give you my information, or you can get it from the show. And if you send us some information, you have the Left Coast should be able to help you out also.
Okay. Well, we have we're part of we're called Feed America First, actually, and we actually have programs in California that's part of us, because we have them almost in every state. But we're just lucky to have our local chapter help.
Right, they had a BACA run for abused kids the other day.
Yep.
And the cops decided that people wearing different colors and stuff thought it was another gang meeting.
Yeah.
So they broke that one up.
Yeah,
instead of finding out what the cause was, they just saw guys on bikes and destroyed the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, these ideas of these motorcycle clubs having runs in the middle of the desert. I'm telling you right now, if I belonged to a motorcycle club, still, if I did, I'd be having my meetings in Las Vegas and Miami. I don't know why the police think these guys go out in the middle of the desert and have meetings, for God's sakes, but they're harassing motorcycle organizations and put charity events on. The runs are open, for God's sakes. I cannot possibly understand the problem. Now, the police department in this area are going to have a motorcycle run coming up. I'm going on the run. And I'm going to take lots of pictures.
Me too.
And I told the cops, I'm coming in. They go, come on in, Bill. They come on our runs, and they're uncomfortable. I think I should go on their runs and shake hands and smooth and let them realize, hey, we're all motorcycle riders. Like a lot of my friends say, I'm not going to show up for that run. Stay home.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of good things going on in this country. We have to find some bridge of communication. We do not need to treat the police like criminals.
Well, Bill, we had a bridge of communication.
Oh,
like,
we have a lot of problems.
Just like we have a bridge of communication with these two guys from Tennessee right now. And that's the way it's done.
I didn't know about this California. You're talking about, is it Southern California, Northern California, or how come I'm so lame I don't know about this? Are you based out of Southern California, Northern California, you can tell us?
Gary.
We've probably got food banks in all three counties, or in all three areas out in California. Because Like I said, we're Second Harvest in Middle Tennessee here, but we have our headquarters is in Chicago, and we're actually called Feeding America First. And basically, if you go online at www.feedingamerica.org, they're
doing all that right now for us, so I can check up on that after the show and all that. Yeah.
And it'll say state.
Did that say?
Could you repeat that again, please?
Feed America.
Yeah, feedamerica.org. And we're not.
Okay.
All right, we'll check that after the show and all that and try to get some more information on that.
Yeah.
And it'll be up on the blog, and we'll give you a plug on the blog.
Yeah.
So what's Baker doing on this program here? How's he involved?
Well, what happened was I was out sick, and I was sitting here, and I seen Baker was on the Internet, and I asked if he'd be interested to Second Harvest because he said Vanderbilt backed out because of other situations, and I just threw Second Harvest out there, and lo and behold, here I am.
I hear he's got a good heart.
I mean, it's awesome that we can take over for some other charity I'm not going to mention names, but, you know.
We're going to get involved out here on the West Coast, Screwdriver.
Absolutely. So what we'll do, Gary, is I'll check this out, and we'll see if we can get in touch with somebody out here, or if you give Whitney my phone number, which you can get from Baker, and
mm-hmm.
have her give me a call, and she can steer me in the right direction, and we'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah, we'll find
mm-hmm.
out who out on the West Coast we can talk to and start getting some information here. That's a pretty
several,
good idea.
There is several, like I said, if you go click on it, it'll say state, click on California, and if you go click on Tennessee, you'll see Middle Tennessee, which is Nashville, and you can see our whole website, what we do.
Well, the reason I said have Whitney give me a call is maybe she has a contact out here, and that'll make it a lot easier.
Oh, okay.
And then if they have any questions, you can inform Whitney about us, or have her call Baker, or Baker can inform her about me, and we'll see if we can get the ball rolling.
All righty.
He's a lot of good publicity out
there.
Magazines, we have contacts, newspapers, radio, just good people out here. And I can apologize because I've not heard of your organization, and I work on 6 major charities in Southern California alone, and I'm embarrassed I didn't know about this one. I think this is good.
What I want to say is in the past, we weren't well-known, but we're starting to get well-known now because we're getting more on the cutting edge of reaching out more, like in the communities and that.
So tell me, how's Baker going to help you? What can you get him to do?
Baker, what do you have?
He can't cook or anything. He can't do nothing. What's he going to do?
Well, usually he's cooking when he's talking, Bill.
Oh.
I mean, when he's listening to the show.
Baker, impress me. Tell me what you're going to do for this organization.
You noticed that, Phil. Well, you know, the whole thing is that it was really cool how it came about. And, one thing I wanted to say was I really loved it when I found out that they did the thing called Feed America, Feed America First thing. And that's, I knew it was broader than just a local charity. But what we're going to do is we're just pretty much going to take our little ride and raise money that way. And we're going to have an all-day event where we're going to do a food drive and set up for donations at the actual event that we're having all day, and we'll be raffling items throughout the day where a portion of the proceeds from that will go to the charity as well. 100% of the ride goes to the charity, so we're hoping to see some big numbers on bikers and some generous folks and bring out a lot of food for the food drive.
That's true, and you're not part of that pool if I get arrested first, are you?
No, that's not it.
But I think we're gonna have a real great time, and I think this is gonna be a first, and probably more to come after that.
We're gonna start plugging here on the West Coast because again, I don't know why I didn't hear this program, but I certainly have heard of it now. And if Baker's pushing it, we think he's a good guy. So we'll start making contacts in the West Coast with the West Coast offices and see if we can get the ball rolling out here. Again, we work on large organizations out here, so this is right up our forte, right up our alley.
Right. As a matter of fact, if you guys want to hang on for a second, we'll let I'm going to bring in another caller from Boston, Massachusetts, and we helped her out with her thing. Betsy, are you there, Betsy?
Yes, I am, Phil.
How are you?
Betsy, how we doing?
We have Baker and Gary. They're both calling out of Nashville right now. And,
hi, guys.
They're doing the charity.
I kind of heard the tail end of it. What is it? Feedamerica.org?
That's correct.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, as many charities as I've worked on over the years, it's not one I've ever heard of either, and maybe we can get the East Coast in on this too. Where are they out of?
Baker, you want to tell them?
I think the home office, Gary said, is out of Chicago, but we're working, our particular event is taking place in Nashville.
Okay. Well,
I wrote down the address.
I'll check you out, and after the show, the guys will give me contacts. We'll see what we can do and see if we can't make it national from east to west.
Well, that'd be great. What we are is we're working on the charity part of Second Harvest Kids Cafe, Middle Tennessee. Is that right, Gary? Gary, why don't you tell her to make sure I got it right.
Yeah, we're Second Harvest of Middle Tennessee, and we're the Kids Cafe program that Baker's so generously helped us out with. And we do have, like I said, Feed America is all over the country. So
I'm
the only problem
too,
is you haven't heard
like
from
you,
anybody yet, so now we're going to try and see if we can change that for you.
We surely can't do it right away, but if this works out pretty good, and Betsy, if you could have an event next year,
sure.
The same time Baker's got a run going on in Nashville, if we can do an event on the exact same weekend again out here on the West Coast, that'd be a lot of good exposure. I'm not a believer in putting a run here and a run there. If you have an organization, you can put all the runs on the same day. That gets you national press. That gets the ball rolling, in my opinion.
That's a great idea, Bill. I think that's really cool.
And then the other thing, Baker, is maybe you can enlighten the listeners to who is going to be there and what's going to happen.
Well, some of our favorite people that are going to be there is Bikers of America, Phil himself. And we're going to have Geneva from Geneva's Rock and Ride, and she's going to be filming for her Fox reality TV show. Hermes Yanis is going to be there from Hermes Live, and he's going to be doing some filming for his show. We got the Biker Lowdown, Alpha Biker Brothers there. Well, we've got Chuck for sure. I'm not sure if LJ is coming down, but Preacher Chuck D is going to be there to MC the event. Coming out of another part of California, I believe these guys, I can't remember exactly what part, they're just outside of L.A., is Biker Do-Rag Brothers. They're Do-Rag Brothers is what they are online. And they sell do-rags and some really cool swag, and they'll be coming in from California. Biker Chad out of Wisconsin with Saddle Tramp Magazine. Got a great band with us also called the Campaign 1984 coming over from North Carolina to participate. And then I just had a couple of other friends from the country band. They were in Trick Pony, and they're going to actually open the show for us. Just a couple of the guys are going to do an acoustic thing for me, for us, for the event. Man, I don't know. I've got so many people. We're hoping that Biker FM, the radio show out of Texas, they're talking about coming up and possibly broadcasting live. And, geez. It's just full of – we got support from all over the country. We've got great music people participating.
Got good sponsors. Wow.
Budweiser. Budweiser just gave us a boatload of posters today and printing some more tomorrow. Beautiful posters that Chuck designed for us. And we're promoting their Drink Responsible designated driver campaign as well.
Okay, well, if you guys want to get shit-faced, I'm the designated driver because I don't drink.
And there you go. But, and the cool thing is everything's taking place. The after party is walking down.
Now, wait,
I'm
smoking too, but I don't drink.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. We're encouraging everybody. You know, I mean, everything is so close to everything cab rideable, man. It's not a bad situation there at all.
Excuse me, when is this event again?
It's Saturday, May the 8th.
Saturday, May the 8th. Well, maybe I'll see if I can get a press pass from up here from the Motorcyclist Post because I'm a columnist and see if I can head on down there and cover it too.
There
that
you go.
That would be great. We've got, because we got folks coming from all parts of the country and we really appreciate the support and the help. You can find out a lot of information at bakersongs.com and then click on the Rock and Ride show tabs that are on that site. That's my website, bakersongs.com, but you'll see when you go there, you'll have options right at the top of the page, and you can click on there under anything that says Rock and Ride. That's all about this event. We just we just went online and tickets are now available. They're only $10 in advance. You can buy tickets. You can read everything about our sponsors and the basis of the event.
And then what Bill and I are going to do, we're going to try and get a hold of I tried last week, and I didn't get a return call yet, but we're going to try and get a hold of a reporter we know for Full Throttle magazine out here.
Cool.
Quick Throttle or Full Throttle?
Quick
Throttle.
Yeah. Yeah, like because of me, we certainly cannot give you much assistance. But that's you got a whole year if you think this is a good program. Put something on in your city.
Sure.
We got a whole year. Put something down. So next May, if we can get at least three events going on the exact same weekend, boy, that's some good exposure for the program. I think outstanding.
Right.
Give me a whole year, Betsy. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
And then we can all do
idea.
Yeah, we can all do satellite feed or whatever you call it, to where we can talk to each other at the same time everything's going on.
Wow.
Nothing
that's
negative is
the
fact that there'll be three separate programs. We all can't be at the Nashville one, but I'm certainly Baker can more than himself. He won't need us out there, but the press would give us a lot of publicity if we had three events going on in the same country for this program. I think you guys got a great program here. And Betsy,
well,
I know she's good enough to take care of it. And you and I, with our limited resources and the school education, I think we can do it out here, though. We'll be all right, you know.
Well, I'm pretty sure I got the hookup out here to get it done, too.
Well, we're having a bike show, too. We're having a bike show, man. So that fits right into Bill's biking, man. He brings his choppers out. We can have, like, a national bike show thing, and do online and we can film it all, you know, in real time, and everybody can be checking out the bikes in all the regions or something, you know.
Baker, let me stop you because you just struck a nerve with me that just irritates the hell out of me. In the bike show, can you have a category for independent bike builders and do not put them in the same class as bike shops like myself? I think it's absolutely a crime for some guy to work all day long, come home, work a couple hours on his bike, and then get the next day work, whereas I can put a bike on anyone on my list, I can have mechanics doing that, and yet that individual has to compete against somebody like ourselves for a trophy. It's absolutely wrong. If you'd acknowledge the custom bike builders in one classification and acknowledge the individual homemade bike builders, I think that goes a long way. And also, if I'm in an event and I win a trophy, I'm probably not going to run up that stage and get that trophy. I'll kind of slide on up in there. But if you're an independent bike builder, and this is your first trophy, you're going to do handstands to get up on that stage, and you're going to want to grab that trophy and go, yeah, I'm pushing harder and harder for the individual bike builders. We have enough custom bike builders out there, and they do beautiful things, but it's the guy who's working out of his house, his garage.
The blue-collar guy, Bill.
That's the guy I'm batting for every single time. So think about that, Baker, if you could. At least try to acknowledge some of the independent guys.
Somebody must be, like, reading your mind, because Ashley Chuck from Alpha Biker Lowdown mentioned that, and that's actually going to be one of our categories.
Outstanding.
See, that's
we're
why,
doing
that's
the,
why
we're doing the independent. We got independent, and then, we have the typical, you know, the V-twin, American V-twin metric, and the custom, and then the independent. That's the four categories.
That's why they say great minds think alike.
And I got to apologize because twice I said guys building bikes, people building bikes. There's some interesting and great bike building women I've been meeting recently. So I got to stop thinking bike builder men only. So bike builders, that's the word I guess I want.
Thank you, Bill.
Sorry, Bill. I forget at times. I'm an old guy.
You know how long she was holding her tongue?
Yeah, she was in quiet, mister.
How long she was holding her tongue. But, no, and if you guys want to call in again next week and give us an update or anything that's happening, feel free to do that.
Mm.
And, Baker, I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Well, hey, thanks a lot, man, and thanks for welcoming Gary into the family. He's a known associate now. And,
there you go, Gary.
There you go. Just be careful. Don't tell him any stories yet.
I think he can listen and pick up a few, but I got a few for him.
Don't worry about it. All the holes got plastered and nobody got hurt.
That's it. That's right.
How old is that man that would do something like that? This is a veteran. He's he worked nice business. He's got a family. Does things like that. Put holes in the place. I don't know.
No more guns going off at supper time.
Oh, no.
No more cleaning while talking. No. All right, you guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Gary, enjoy
right,
talking
thanks.
To you. Baker, always good to talk to you, buddy. You take care now.
All right, thank
good
you.
Good night, fellas. Thanks. Bye.
Good night, guys.
Hi,
Gary,
guys.
Like a nice guy.
Hello, Betsy. What's up? What you got going on?
Bye.
First of all, I want to get the address for the ride and everything that those guys are having. You can give it to me afterwards, so that I can, you know, broadcast.
As long as you're not rolling on the floor laughing your ass off, okay?
I'm always doing that.
How'd you like that story I sent you?
Oh, that was pretty cool. Did you see what I sent you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, what'd you think about that?
I was drinking. I used to do some of that stuff, but that's another story.
Right.
You're actually in the city of Boston itself?
No, I'm actually 4 miles northwest.
Oh, okay. I grew up in South Boston, fine Irish neighborhood of South Boston that it was in the day.
Really? I
yes,
actually
indeed.
Lived in South Boston for a little while when I was
And I want to tell you that after
tell
I left.
Name of the street.
Say what?
Tell her the name of the street. Tell her the name of the street, the school.
The school I went to Gator Heaven High School.
Uh-huh.
I went to a Catholic school in South Boston. I forget my grammar schools, but I live at Columbia Housing Project in South Boston. I live
oh,
by
my
Columbia
goodness.
Heights.
I used
and,
to live
at one
right
point
on
in time,
Street.
Where they got the J.F. Kennedy Library now today.
Yep.
Yeah, that was called Columbia Point Housing Project.
Exactly.
That was me, fifth
that
floor.
That was you. Wow.
15 Monticello Avenue. I grew up realizing you don't have to be a tough person, but, man, you better stand up for your rights.
Oh, absolutely.
I learned that very, very, very young in Boston. I appreciated that. You know, I went back with my wife last Christmas because she really wanted to go see snow, and I have no idea why, because it just doesn't. I want to see
so
pictures of snow.
So she could
snow.
Appreciate
That's it.
The good California weather.
She wanted to go see it, and we came back, and you know what I looked for, and I don't know how long you've been around Boston, but there was a clothing store, a bargain basement store called
Filene's. Yeah, it's long gone.
I went there's a placard or a sign that said this is where Filene's used to be.
Right. It was
walked up and down before I went down to where the ice skate ring was in the park until I found that sign because I realized. Growing up, my mom and dad and all that, that's what took me to buy our clothes and all that, poor Irish people and all that. But I found the sign that said Filene's, and I'm talking to people on the street. Never heard of it. I found the sign, and finally I said to this one person, turn around. The sign's right there. Oh, I didn't know what that meant. I went, oh, my God, you heathen, you barbarian. I couldn't
believe
Yeah,
well, they're not real Bostonians then.
No, times changed. That's why I never want to go back. Times change, you know.
I
but
know.
South
it's
Boston
a shame. That was quite a mainstay. In fact, when I used to work in Boston every lunchtime, that's right where I would go. I'd grab a bite. I'd walk up to Filene's basement shop and take my sandwich back to the office.
Boy, I tell you, we went down to watch the ice skating rink, too. My wife got a real kick out of that. The park was all lit up with lights, the Christmas
down
season
on the
and all that.
Boston Commons, yeah.
Well, the Commons, yes, it's beautiful. But,
yeah, they do a nice job with that.
Austin talking,
no,
fellas. Do you mind?
That's fine.
Go ahead, jump
that's,
in. Go ahead,
no,
interrupt
no,
us. No,
no,
go
no,
ahead.
I'm not interrupting. That's
right.
fine. But
you're going to interrupt us. Go ahead.
Sure. Betsy, no, Betsy had something.
Oh, I'm sorry, Betsy. I do. Okay.
No.
That's okay.
That's a phone call for
hey,
another day, Bill.
You know, hey.
But
Betsy and I might be related. We don't know yet, you know?
What could be? You never know.
So Betsy,
hey, that's another story also.
Hey, Betsy's my ex-wife. You my ex-wife, Betsy?
I would remember that.
Okay.
But no, the reason Betsy called is something's going on in Massachusetts she wanted to talk about.
Oh, share with us, dear.
Okay, well, there's something I can talk about and something I can't talk about just yet. The something I can talk about right now is what's going on out here with the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General has reached a settlement with now it's about 7 carriers to refund motorcyclists money to them. Mm-hmm. Evidently, and it's a long, convoluted story, but carriers were asking for policyholders, bikers, to give them the cost new of their bike, and expecting them each year to keep the cost new on the bike for the collision and comp, when each year the value was depreciating, and they kept charging rates on the cost new as opposed to the actual cash value of the bike. And this goes back to 2002, so the Attorney General decided a week before our special election out here that she was going to give back $11.1 million to motorcyclists, their money. Now, the problem with this was, first of all, the announcement came on the eve of our special election, and I don't know, the timing was quite curious, because one would believe that she was trying to get motorcyclist votes, and thankfully
it
backfired. Right. But the thing is, in the press release, she says, we're going to give you back your money, and you're going to get 6% interest and all of this. So I actually got a hold of the settlement and read all of it from all three carriers back at that point in time. Nowhere did it mention anything about interest. Nowhere did it say that, well, let me just back up a little bit. Part of the problem is that the funds that aren't getting returned, because they only have to send out notification to the last known address, if the funds don't get returned to motorcyclists, in most cases, the money goes back to the Attorney General's office for her use in her own fund, in her general fund. And we have a problem with that. It's motorcyclist money. Somehow it has to get back to motorcyclists. If they're not going to turn the money over to the treasurer's abandoned property department, then it should go to our safety fund or something. It's just not right. She came out a few weeks, well, no, probably it's probably now about a month and a half ago, with a second settlement with three to four other carriers for another $9 million that's supposed to go back. I just got the paperwork in the office 2 days ago, and I've yet to sit down and go through all 153 pages to see how that's going to work, but my sense is that it's probably going to work the same way. And one of my contacts at one of the carriers told me that he guesstimated only about 40% of the money will get back to motorcyclists. So let's see, I don't know, you got $11 million, and only 40% of it's going to be returned, and 60% goes back to the Attorney General. Gee, she seems to think she's going to make out like a bandit.
It's going to be a good Christmas for her family.
Yeah, but it's not right.
Well, yeah, sometimes it's not right, but they get away with it.
Well, we just saw that with the health care vote, but I won't get into that.
Well, that'll be a whole show on that alone, dear.
Oh, I know. But
that's volatile out here. Volatile.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many people are going to get hurt. But anyway, so that's what's going on here. And then there are some other ripplings on the water, which Phil and I have been discussing, but I'm not at liberty to talk about that yet. It's a little too early.
Well, that person I told you to call?
Yep. We're in touch. That particular person is away on a fishing trip or something right now and should be back, and messages have been left. We'll connect, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could help you with that one.
Yeah, thank you. Well, hey, that's what it's all about, this network that we have.
And the other thing I told you about the vouching?
Yeah.
I can do that too.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
We'll just give me your dossier from Homeland Security.
Okay.
Stop mentioning that. That was, you know what? I keep telling
that
my
cracks
list.
Me
up. Slide, okay? Actually, I am going to point out that we have, throughout the one contact I made, who I still want to remain totally no name, man, woman, whatever I spoke to, we have a program coming up here for the Traveling Wall, and I spoke to Homeland Security, and they're going to send a speaker to appear at the wall right after the Color Guard. This
nice.
Man's a Vietnam vet, 1966-1969, former mayor of Cleveland, chief of police, excuse me. He's going to be one of our speakers, and Homeland Security has said to me, please tell everything about him, but do not mention to the public Homeland Security. So, you know, I didn't mean it, but at least they know who we are. But stop mentioning I did that. That wasn't real good, Philip.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll be
Shit
a deal.
Well,
that may open up Guantanamo Bay just for me.
They'll put you in there. They'll put you in one of the FEMA camps with me out here somewhere. So don't worry about it. Well, maybe they'll let us do our show too from the camp. Who knows?
No, there we go. So I want to spend the rest of my life looking at you. Oh,
dear. Oh, here we go.
You know, people don't understand our sense of humor, Betsy. I want to tell you very quickly. Screwdriver was in a motorcycle accident a while ago. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah,
he had his head in his shoulders, and you know he's all blah blah blah. But he's still riding his bike, not very well, but. In reflection, he never drove that well anyway. But
oh, okay.
We're going down the freeway.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
On Highway 76 a while ago. I was with a partner of mine, Rick. And we're rolling at 75 on a California freeway, which is nothing. And I look, and Screwdriver doesn't have a windshield or nothing because he's a hard guy. And the wind's really buffing him, you know. It's coming in kind of hard, and I can see his face. He's kind of grimacing at the pain, but he won't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, you know,
he's
as hardcore. His friend, I realize I'm doing 75 miles an hour. His shoulder's in pain because of the wind. I did the only thing a friend would do.
He dropped the hammer.
I rolled it up to 90. Who has this martial art friend of mine who's got a studio down there? 90 miles an hour. His shoulder hurt him for half an hour. But, Betsy, he wouldn't whimper. He wouldn't say nothing. Coming home, I'm sure he laid in the bathtub or whatever, but he wouldn't say a word, but that's what friends are for.
That's
if I got a shot, we're going to take it.
Yeah.
Don't appreciate that humor. Feel the love.
Absolutely. You guys tickle me.
Well, we're dysfunctional. We're dysfunctional.
Where?
All over.
It's your story. You tell it any way you want.
Okay. He wrote me an email the other day. My name is Philip, and I'm here to help.
Absolutely.
I'm still cracking up.
But, no, and then, like I told you about that thing you wanted to do, that would be, I'm pretty sure that'll come your way.
I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. We have been discussing it more and more, and the affiliation seems to be the right one of all our options. So,
excuse me, is this a smut story between you two?
No.
No.
I'm not sure what's going on. If this is a smut story, stop calling it different colors. You know what? If you don't want us to know what's going on, you know what? Actually, we're your friends. We shouldn't be judgmental of you.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
It's all right. Enough of these innuendos, though.
When
something
the time
on,
is appropriate, I'll come back on. I'll explain what's going on, and you'll hear all about it.
He's just in suspense because it's something he doesn't know about. He usually knows everything that's going on.
Right. Well, you know what? You can tell him about it.
He won't know. I have to wait till you say it. The way he is.
Well, you know what? Bill, I'll have to get your email, so I'll tell you about it. So you can.
He doesn't have an email. The computer's the devil to him.
There's no way anybody can ever. You can reach me at my shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside, but. No phone calls, no messages. I absolutely, my time alone is so delicious.
I hear you.
I'll be buried. There was a time I had messages and blah, 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 and I'd come home for the weekend, and I even took the answer machine out of my motorcycle shop. I the time that I have left to myself, I describe it as delicious. I can't share it. I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I told you I'm kind of a strange person.
That's
I'm on the
right.
air, I'm speaking.
So, Phil, do you think
I
ought to give him a call then?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll send you his number.
Okay.
I'll call you.
I'll fill you in.
You can email anything right here to Screwdriver. He'll give me all the emails. He's a nice person that way. But
you can do it that way, however.
People always yell at me, well, how come I can't email you? If it's important enough for you to pick up the phone and call me, I want to talk to you. But emails, I just have, my life is like I'm a social butterfly. Every weekend I have so many events I have to go to, and not counting all these funerals I've been going to lately. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
but,
know.
But my time's kind of...
We had five people this week in the last
five
week.
People, Betsy.
Cancer.
Wow.
Different parts of the body, cancer, but five people. It's just, you know, I can't go all these... I will try to make all the funerals I can, but...
It gets difficult, yeah.
It does, yeah.
But any other burning desires there?
Well, actually, let me tell you, I don't mean it's all boring. I'm going to go to a burlesque thing this week, and I'm seeing an event where a big burlesque show is going on, so I don't want you to think it's all boring, you know. Burlesque isn't stripping. It's graceful taking off, I guess, of the clothes. I don't know. I've not been to a burlesque show, but they asked me to come down and MC it.
Right.
And so new experiences I should always try.
Absolutely. That's the fun in life, is to try something new.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, you know, to go back to what he was talking about, I was jonesing for about 6 months because of the accident.
Mm-hmm.
He called me up and he said, "Hey," he said, "you want to ride down there?" I was like, "Well, you know, I rode a couple of times."
I was hoping he'd say no.
Yeah. But I would have drove there. But I rode the bike there. I rode to his house, and then we like he said, you know, through town and stuff was okay. And then that was my first time on the freeway, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that kind of little shock, you know. But then once we got going, it was going.
Mm-hmm.
It was balls out. But other than that, he's just talking shit now.
So he's limping like a little baby. I gave him this martial art training program. I said, "You want to start working out?" He's still limping, and my shoulder hurts. I can't. Oh my God! I gotta take him everywhere. It's sad, Betsy. It's sad.
You know,
Lord, make a story up now.
No story. You saw this. You saw it. It's turning black. I stepped in somewhere today and I tripped on something at work in the dark, and I think I broke my pinky.
Oh yeah, I'm looking. It's broken. It's black.
But when
I'm looking at it. I'm telling you.
He was sitting here with me when I pulled it back in to place.
Snap, crack, pop.
Ouch.
You know what I've been doing accidentally, just very accidentally? I'm reaching for something, I'm bumping that hand every chance I get. Friends are for.
That's true. But anything else, or do you think you're going to make that event in Nashville?
Well, you know, I'm planning to get to Sturgis, obviously, this year. But... I would like to make it. You know, as a columnist for the Motorcyclist Post each month, I could ask Leo if he'd get me a press pass, and maybe I got some time to, you know, I don't know, it'd probably take me a good two-day ride from here.
Hey, how's that going with Farmer? Is he back yet in America? And
yeah, he is. He's being debriefed as we speak. And, you know, as I said, he wanted to come in under the radar. And I spoke with Bill the other day. I actually asked him to give me a holler when he got your package.
Huh?
Just so I can make sure it got there, because the first package and check that I sent never made it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where the hell it went. I have an issue with my local post office. They lose my mail. I think they do it on purpose. They've lost 9 checks and that package on me, so I'm not happy.
I know. When I came home from the military, I was debriefed and I was released right away. But I heard when the screwdriver was released, they kept him in isolation. Some of sexual diseases, somebody picked up. He wasn't allowed to come back for some time.
Yeah. No, they said... they said they're a little backed up getting the guys totally debriefed, so it might be another week.
Yeah. Well, that's
coming home under the radar.
Yeah. They were trying to keep me under the radar. But no,
you're always on top of the radar, I think. I think you're just a radar magnet.
That's okay. I'm having fun.
Yeah, I know you are. You're enjoying every minute of it.
Absolutely. I didn't know I'd get this much attention. Shit, if I knew it was going to happen like this, I'd have started years ago. But, no, it's just like, you know, to go back on that, it basically, that the second time I got stopped, it was basically they were telling me they don't want me downtown, period.
They don't want you downtown.
Yeah, but excuse me, who the hell are they to tell you where you can and cannot go?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the problem with that is, now, being that I'm a little older than the guys I was talking to, and being pegged as a known associate with affiliations, they think that I might be the brains behind the party.
Really?
Yes. That's basically what it came down to with these guys talk when I talked to that guy for an hour and a half the other day.
Well, a lot of the problem is, and we have to look at this thing not just emotionally, we need to look at this thing physically. If you just had a gray in your beard, which you don't even have a beard, if you had gray in your hair, you wouldn't get stuck.
Well, I have gray in my hair, Bill.
Well, you got a little tiny bit, for God's sake.
I have gray in my hair.
Who has long hair and doesn't have a beard? What's your problem, mister? Huh?
My job requires I be clean shaven daily.
Oh,
okay. If I have to make my guys shave every day, I have to shave.
All right. Is that why you wear your hair cut real high, all the ears and all that?
Right.
All
right. Right. Because I can't make them do something that I won't do myself. They all
you shave
know.
Your chest hairs, everything too?
No.
How about your back hairs?
No.
All right. I didn't know.
I don't have.
Just ask the question. I didn't know.
Okay.
Betsy wanted to know if you shaved your back.
But yeah, Betsy, it came down to where basically I was informed that I was not welcome down there. After living here for 25 years, I'm not welcome down there now.
Really? That's just, well, you know, I gave you my thoughts on that on the phone. You know,
right.
It should be interesting how it plays out.
Oh, yeah.
It's that old intimidation game.
Well, see, the problem is, I'm gonna tell you what's going on right now. The problem is they're continuing to violate the 4th and 14th Amendment, one by a search and seizure, 14th is by right to travel. So what's going to happen is, because they receive federal grants, they're listening, it's going to be the Department of Justice that's getting involved. I've already talked to them.
Really?
All I have to do is turn them on to what's going on.
That's it. I want to clarify some point. Screwdriver and I, by our own personal choices, we don't drink. So
drink when I'm near a motorcycle. I lost my taste for alcohol about 7 years ago, and every once in a while I may, like once every year, I might have a drink. But if I'm near a bike, I won't touch alcohol.
There you go. I have a food stock bar in my house. If a guest comes over and you want to have a glass of wine at dinner or something, I am not a hypocrite. I don't want to tell people what to do. I don't want you getting drunk in my house, but I want you to feel free. I choose not to drink. So I'm saying all this because Screwdriver and I are not causing any problem. We're not doing burnouts. We're not half drunk doing crazy stuff. We're just two American citizens, two veterans, riding down in American city on American streets, and bam.
Right.
Major hassles and headaches, you know.
Right. Well, you know, they probably got wind that you guys are the epitome of what's going on today, that you have a voice. And maybe...
Well, actually, Betsy, the guy told me that he's been telling them that, hey, these are just a couple of older bikers that we're picking on, and, you know, maybe the guy's got a point here in that. And then they did some background check.
And?
Well, you see, I've been riding for 45 years, and there isn't any major motorcycle club in California where I don't have two or three members that I don't know for 30 years.
Exactly.
The gangs that are killing each other. I know friends on both sides and all that. So you're looking into my history, and
you're
seeing
come
so
up
much.
With
but
people.
You know what? And I have friends for 30, 40 years on all sides of all clubs. It's my choice.
Right.
And
that's right, but they can't tell you who to pick as your friends.
They won't tell me what to do.
No, they're not telling me either. That's the problem, because most of the people that Bill knows, I know also.
Right. But, I mean, we all have those associates, people we know by virtue of the fact that we've ridden for years and years and years on both and all sides of the tracks, and that doesn't make us a bad person because we know them.
Right.
Some good and some bad everywhere.
Right.
And
exactly.
I say it in some humor. One of the one of the meanest clubs out here. One of their presidents says to everybody that I, Bill Kennedy, I got an attitude. I'm arrogant. And I'm thinking, you are full-on blown-out criminals. You say that about me? I think I'm Mr. Warmth and Wonderful. But it goes to show in every organization, there's some people you're going to like, some people you don't want to be around. And I will choose
my
own
the whole thing.
My back on a friend.
Personalities inside of organizations. If we could do away with the personality clashes inside of organizations, there would be harmony everywhere.
Politics. It always comes down to politics.
Yep. Personal politics, too.
We have
in biker groups, it seems.
Yeah. We have
egos.
Yeah, that too. We have another caller on, and Karen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry,
how
I didn't get your message there.
Stranger, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
One speed.
I was busy working with something, so I didn't realize you guys were in the chat room.
No.
Sorry.
You missed most of the show? Have you heard anything you liked about the show?
I was listening to the show. I was just working on something while I was listening to it.
Oh.
Where's Karen from?
New York.
Hey,
Karen,
how you doing?
Betsy, this is Karen.
One of our cousins from New York.
I know
what?
Karen.
Yes, you do.
Small world.
Oh,
yeah,
what's up, guys?
So what's going on in New York?
There's a few things. I mean, I see that you got the New York Freedom Riders press release.
Correct.
About contacting all the local and state and sheriff's departments about their list of compliant helmets. We sent four more out. We have about 34 now that we've got responses from. And they all have stated they do not have a list of compliant helmets. So, including the state police.
Because there never is one.
Well, right, which is the point.
Right.
But they said that the main purpose of these motorcycle and checkpoints is to ensure safety of the motorcyclists in New York, that they have these compliant helmets. So,
well, I just showed Bill a thing from China today. If you buy a lot of 300 helmets, you can buy them for $2 a piece, and they're DOT certified.
Right.
I should like to point out to you, if you Americans continue to buy stuff from China...
Yeah, that pisses me off. Don't get me going there either.
Because we're losing American jobs to China.
Right.
That just irritates me. Very quickly, I went back to Providence, and the whole town was deserted. They were making galoshes. Now, people in California know what that means. It's the rubber boots that go over your boots.
Yep.
Whole town was shut down. So all the work's being outsourced to China.
Oh.
A whole town with nothing to do, no work at all. It was like being in the ghost town. It was pathetic.
Yeah, but the whole country's turning that way, unfortunately.
And why can't people see this? Protect American jobs. Protect your own job. Take care of your own family. Buy American products. I don't get paid to stay there. I just believe you've got to make a choice.
Hear, hear.
In fact, I'm a little upset. Did one of you two girls, very quickly, do you believe we landed on the moon?
That was eons ago.
Do you believe it?
Yeah, and you know, he's actually on Dancing with the Stars now, Buzz Aldrin. God love him.
So both you ladies do believe we're on the moon, right?
Yep, we were on the moon.
And we planted an American flag on the moon.
We can't
do
anything about America, but we can sure plant a flag on the moon. And we
Betsy,
can send
you believe
all
that
our
too?
Jobs
Both
to
you girls
China.
Believe that we planted a flag on the moon, an American flag.
Yep. That's when we were powerful.
Then it's our moon.
It's
like finding another country, putting your flag on it. And what's the first thing America does is they say, we invite all countries to explore the moon. It's our moon. We arrive there first, we put a flag on it. I'm a taxpayer,
right.
It's my moon. But no. Our American government says every country in the world can feel free to explore my moon. I got a problem with that, guys.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, we're getting down to 5 minutes, and Betsy sent me a closing song, Bill. Karen, you might enjoy this one.
Is Betsy singing it?
No, Betsy's
Betsy doesn't sing anymore. Well,
Betsy's
I do.
Betsy's not going to sing it, but Karen, you might get a kick out of this one when you hear it. And then I would welcome you to call in earlier next week.
I know, I kind of conked out. I'm sorry.
Okay, we missed you.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
Don't let me talk about China again. I get sidetracked.
Oh.
All right, I'm gonna bring this song in, and this is a song that Betsy sent me, and I want you guys to listen to it.
My girl, she's on a trail. Been through Death Valley, hard as hell. I rode across the dusty plains. Cowboy running through my veins, but I ain't going down Brokeback Mountain. No, I ain't going down on Brokeback Mountain. That shit ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
I've watched the herd from dusk till dawn, but I did it.
I loved it.
Well, if we had any gay people listening, they left us forever now.
Oh, I know. I just like the song.
Well,
and
they
I
really
like Willie Nelson.
You know, yeah.
So, what's on your agenda for the weekend? You going for a putt or no?
Depends on the weather up here. You know, we could have a nor'easter. Who knows? I'd like to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I did get out last week for a bit, hoping to get out this weekend. What about you, Karen?
It's vicious. Vicious out here in California. Vicious.
72 and sunny, clear skies. The waves
look... Oh, yeah, rub it in. I know my sister's
being
out
so...
there. She wants me to come out and live there.
Well.
Pack up your stuff.
I know.
Don't even pack up. Just leave.
I keep telling everybody I try to get to retired, but I can only get to retarded, you know?
I got a motorcycle shop. I will never retire. I just assume somebody hears that I had a heart attack at the counter, and that's fine with me. I will never sell my shop. I will never retire.
Good for you.
Yeah, we're down to about 20 seconds, Betsy, so if you wanna call in next week or if you hear from that person we talked about, give me a buzz.
Yep.
Let me know the update.
Okay, I will. And
you have a good
thank
weekend.
You. You know what? I do want to touch base with you afterwards about that that ride, Feed America, the event and all. Get the links and a flyer and whatnot and put it out there in my newsletter. I think that would be great to let people know about it because this was the first I had ever heard of it. So.
All right, we're down to about 60 seconds. So what I do is give me a day to do some research and I'll
yep.
send it. Okay?
Okay, you got it. Hey,
all
good
right,
night,
everybody,
guys.
Thanks
always
for checking
a pleasure.
In tonight, huh?
You guys have a good weekend. Thanks for
you
listening.
You too. All right.
All right.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Good night.